The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
And we welcome you once again to our program, Afternoons with Mike. I have a couple of guests in the studio today. So excited to get to talk about this. They are both representing an event that's going to happen in Seminole County. It's the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast that's coming up on Friday, April 30th, at 7 in the morning at the Hilton Orlando in Altamont Springs. And it is my pleasure to welcome Michelle Smith and also Alan Youngblood. Welcome to the studio, both of you.
Thank you so very much. We're so very happy to be here. Thank you.
It's so exciting. Now, first of all, we just have to acknowledge the fact that we're able to have an event again, like the prayer breakfast, after this horrible year of cancellations last year. That's got to be exciting for you guys.
It is very exciting. And I think the thing that's most exciting is to see how God has worked in this event. Having to cancel our event last year, regretfully because of COVID, and to see God continue to work to keep the people in the community that were faithful and had confidence in us that we would bring this event to the community, but also in helping us find this magnificent speaker that we have coming. So we don't just have anyone coming, we have Lou Holtz coming.
Oh my
goodness. So God has played a very big part in all of this.
Lou Holtz, he is an icon in sports, and you think of all of those game days, all of the commentary that he does, of course, the years of being an unbelievable coach himself.
Yes.
He is truly legendary, and you know, it's wonderful to see a guy like that who has a heart. You know, just some of the things that you've given me about Lou, in case some of the people aren't aware who he is. He is certainly one of the most known college football coaches in the United States. He grew up just up the Ohio River from where he was born in West Virginia, graduated from East Liverpool High School, and of course went on to be the masterful coach and, again, now media spokesman that he is. So he'll be a very interesting speaker. Now, you, or Michelle, are the chair of this. How long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been a member of the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast for the last 4 years, and I've been the chairman for the last year and a half, actually.
Mm-hmm. So you got to work on one that ended up getting scrapped, right?
We did. I did. We did, yes. Oh, yeah. Regretfully so.
It's so painful. I hear that. I'm laughing, but I'm crying. On the inside, I think, but I'm now excited because of so many events that did get scrapped last year are back on the calendar for this year.
You know, what ended up happening for us was two things. We talked amongst ourselves and said, we are going to move forward in faith. We are going to make this happen. We are going to believe that God is going to be faithful. And we exercised that faith physically. We made a donation into the community, which is part of the tradition of the prayer breakfast. We made a donation into the community that would make a difference in the community. And we did that knowing that we had these monies in house, but we made that investment in the community on faith. And that has just come back tenfold because God delivered an even greater speaker than we could have imagined.
And I would agree with that. And I'm looking forward to hearing him. It's going to be great. So tell us about Alan. You're on the committee as well. And is this your first year for doing that?
Well, it is. Been on the committee for a year and a half at the invitation of the committee chairman. And it's been a privilege and honor to be a part of something that is so far reaching. I mean, from corner to corner in Seminole County.
Wonderful. Now, Michelle is a business owner. You are a pastor, and I know you're involved in talking with you before. You were involved for a long time in one of my favorite organizations, and that's FCA.
Well, yes, we got to talk about that a little bit. When I gave my life to the Lord, I knew I wasn't just going to sit. I knew God was going to use me. And I was invited to be a part of Fellowship of Christian Athletes to be the sponsor at our school. I'm also an educator at Lake Hall High School. And so within weeks of committing my life to Christ, I was invited to be a part of getting FCA back off the ground at Lake Howell. And from there, God's opened doors for me to be involved in youth ministry. And now we pastor Faith Outreach Church down in Oviedo.
Well, that's wonderful. FCA is one of those great organizations. They're still doing it in big ways all across the country, maybe even the world, but they have that open door into schools that so many people have longed for, and to be able to have that connection, even in today's climate, they continue to do that.
Yeah, it's very powerful. You know, one of the greatest elements of FCA is paying back in the community, is serving the community. And when you're a club on campus, when you're giving back, when you're serving the student body and holding rallies and offering hope to a lot of people who are hopeless, there is a dividend there that pays back. And people want something in their schools. Leaders want an organization on campus that's going to make a positive difference and an impact in the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got an organization that's going to help kids get off drugs, you're going to have an organization that's going to bring hope to the hopeless. If you've got an organization that's going to promote the welfare of our society, they're welcomed on the campuses, the public high school campuses.
Well, this is exciting to meet another person like yourself. And there are so many out there that have at one point either attended an FCA function or been a part of the planning with it. And I just say, yay, keep it coming. Mm-hmm. Do the work. I love it. And I'm glad that you're here. I'd love to hear both of your stories. Let's start with you, Michelle. How did you come to know the Lord in the beginning?
Oh, gosh. I actually was saved in college. I grew up. I had a wonderful mother that taught me to love the Lord. Really honestly thought that I was saved until I reached college, where I was attending a church that caused me to realize you're not just believing in God, but you're accepting Christ as your Savior. And so that was a big, you know, that was just a big realization for me. So that's how it happened for me.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. You know, I'm watching this series, and I'm sure maybe you've heard about it, called The Chosen.
We
watched episode 1 from season 2, my wife and I did just last night. And the impact of what you just said is so very real in every way of the personal relationship with Jesus. And it is so greater to every person who has experienced that relationship than just knowledge of knowing about God or thinking that, you know, as the old saying goes, you can sit at McDonald's and that doesn't make you a hamburger. Being in church does not make you a believer.
So true.
So
I remember as a little girl sitting in my confirmation classes where I was learning, you know, learning my Bible and preparing for confirmation. And I remember saying to the priest, I think I'm in the wrong class. I already know all of this. So what a wonderful journey that was, knowing that I loved God, but what a wonderful next step to learn that I had a Savior and that I could accept Christ as my Savior and have that salvation.
Were you one who grew up in this area?
Yes, I did. I was born in Ohio. We moved down here from Ohio at a very, very early age. So I actually claim Florida as my
home. All right. One who grew up in the Sunshine State. Yes. That's wonderful. And always in Central Florida?
Yes, absolutely. Started school here, transferred to Gainesville. And Central Florida has always been my home. I worked professionally all over the Southeast for a number of years and then settled here and left corporate America and started my own firm.
Now, did I hear that you attended UF?
Yes.
Go Gators. Well, all right. There we are. Well, that's right.
It's interesting when you put yourself through school. I didn't make one single football game. So I always found that ironic. But anyway,
having spent 17 years up there, and I was a fan of Billy Donovan, even when we lived here in Orlando, and loving their basketball team his style of coaching, which is very similar to all Indiana Hoosiers, as I was before. Love that Hoosier hustle that Billy always taught. Moving to Gainesville, though, becoming a big football fan as well. And so, I'm a Gator dad.
Oh, are you really? What a great thing.
Yeah, I've got three of my kids graduated from UF. And I will always love the school, always will love the city.
What a sweet town that really is. And it was a wonderful part of my life. You know, you step out on your own and you make decisions about how you're going to live each day, how you're going to spend your time. And part of that was finding that sweet church that helped me lead me to Christ.
Well, that's wonderful. And Alan, I know you're a UCF grad.
I am a UCF grad. Mm-hmm. My experience is a little different. With college, I went to all the FSU games and I just didn't go to class. which got me a ticket back home to mom and dad. I did finish up at UCF and went into education. And
so many kids, when they'll go to a college, and Gainesville is notorious for that as well, where a lot of kids go there, especially as freshmen, and they become a bit of the participant in the party life, and you skip class and all of that. But UCF, you're graduating from there. That's not a bad thing at all.
No, it isn't. It was a learning curve going to college for me. I had to understand that you have to go to class too.
Yeah.
And that's the reason you're going to college, not just the football games.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about. I got to study. Oh, yeah. I've got to do that. What was your, you said you're an educator. So did you, at early on in your college experience, was that like an initial thought? I want to be a teacher.
Well, I love this story, Mike. It just speaks of the grace of God. I was born broken. A little young girl put me in the hospital and left me there. And two people who couldn't have children saw this little orphan boy and took him home and raised him. And gave me a chance of a lifetime. But I woke up and realization that I'm broken and rejected. And so when I went away to college, it was a tough time. You know, I was trying to find myself, and you can't find yourself in the world. You know, it's like the prodigal son. You run away and you sow a lot of wild oats and you waste time and money. And I came to the realization that I needed Christ in my life. I'd been to church, but I played church. And when I came home, there was such an emptiness inside of me that one day I was on a pool deck. I was coaching swimming and water polo for Lake Howe High School. And a man gave me two tickets and said, "Why don't you come to this play tonight at this church?" And it was at Faith Assembly. Pastor Carl Stevens hosted a huge Evidence That Demands a Verdict play.
Josh McDowell.
And I wasn't real interested in going, but I did. And I went by myself. It was like a moment decision. And I changed. I went there. And I got to see in that wonderful play what Christ had done for me and what he did for others. And I made a decision. I was the first person down there. I say, I went to a Baptist church. I got saved every weekend at a Baptist church. The altar calls were so strong. I was like, I need to get saved again. And having no root and foundation there. But when I gave my life to Christ at that church, you know, I had an encounter with God. And just a couple of days later, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And my life has never, ever been the same again. And it's like God has opened doors for me with FCA. And then someone I know knew I got saved and asked if we'd help him with his church and his youth group, Pastor Scott George. And I have lived a blessed life. And now I don't feel rejected anymore. I'm not an orphan anymore. I'm in the family of God. And I've got many brothers and sisters that love me and I love them. So now my job is to rescue broken people like me, you know, get past religion, right, get past all that, and just help people, meet them on the road and be a hand that lifts them up out of the pit.
One of the beautiful pictures in our salvation story is the fact that we are all adopted by God.
That's right.
Not a one of us should have been in that family. Not a one of us were in that family. And in fact, the scripture talks about the fact that we are, were in the beginning his enemies, enemies of God, not children of God. We were just the opposite. And yet the Lord did what you experienced in the natural in your life, spiritually speaking.
And nothing I could do to earn being in that family.
Right.
It's by his grace that he's accepted me and adopted me into the family of God.
You know, one of the beautiful pictures in that we talk about, you know, the whole thing about prayer and knowing God. And one, I think that's the beautiful thing about theology is it helps us know more about the God to whom we pray. But one of the pictures that Wayne Grudem in his book, Systematic Theology, talks about is the fact that it would have been amazing if we would have just been saved. And think about this. If we would have been saved from the end that we all deserved and not have to go to hell, that would have been amazing. That would have been a gift of God, but that wasn't all that he did. In fact, if we had been not only saved, but to be able to be open to go to heaven, that would have been amazing. And that would have been, we would have gone through eternity thanking God, but that's still not all that he did. He adopted us and made us joint heirs with Jesus.
Yes.
Now, when you think about that and get your brain around that,
I know.
Oh, and that makes prayer to the Lord so amazing, doesn't it?
Yes, sure does.
Oh, yeah. I love it. We're going to take a break. We're here visiting and talking with Michelle Smith, also Alan Youngblood. Both are representing at a big event that's coming to Seminole County. It's the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast, and friends, it is on this year. And we're excited about it. We'll tell you more about it in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Welcome back to the program. Today we are able to visit with a couple of delightful people. So excited to have both of them in the studio. It's Michelle Smith. She's the chair of the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast. She also owns Source One Specialty Services. Got to hear about that before you leave.
Sure.
And we also have Alan Youngblood. He's a pastor and a school teacher and an all-around great guy, I might add.
Well, thank you.
We think so.
Yeah, it's great to have Alan here. And he's also serving on this committee for this big event. And I'm just tickled to say that this year, events like the Prayer Breakfast have not been canceled, and they are going. And I just even talking about that, it's always hard for me to get my brain around the fact that here in America, we experienced what we did last year with COVID. Yeah. That was just a horrible time where so many wonderful events, I mean, even Easter was affected. And in most churches, they had to go to a live stream only. Yeah. But this event is going to happen on Friday, April 30th, and it's going to be at the Hilton at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
It is.
And as we mentioned while ago, Michelle, you were able to land Lou Holtz. How in the world did you do that?
You know, it's just such a story about how God has worked in our event. Our prior speaker had requested that Lou Holtz be the individual that introduced him because he was a mentor, and so I became introduced to Lou through this individual. And just started communicating with him. He wasn't able to join us for that event. However, we just started communicating and developed a relationship, if you will, a sort of a remote relationship. But nonetheless, his wife passed last year. I went to the celebration of life ceremony, and we visited there for quite a while, and just shared with him how much his testimony had meant to us when he was a prior speaker at the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast in 1999. So how I found him was just continuing to keep the communication alive and pressing forward. We were with our own event. We were prayerful. You know, we were prudent, but prayerful and bold in our expectation that we would do this event. And so I came to him and asked him. I said, "You provided a wonderful testimony in 1999, but now, today, later, we have the benefit of watching you having lived your life according to the convictions that you gave testimony to then. And we'd like for you to come back now. You've received this tremendous honor, the presidential honor, the greatest honor that can be awarded for an American. And so we'd like for you to come back and talk about your journey as a Christian in, you know," so he's going to be talking about family, football, and faith.
Something that he knows a little bit about in all three of those things. Yes. And he is such a great speaker. I mean, people who followed Lou Holtz's career at Notre Dame, and he was legendary there. People who are in Indiana, up in northern Indiana, had the chance years ago to go to actually spend some time on the campus itself. And they have the big building that goes up and over with a mural of the Lord. And they call that Touchdown Jesus there. And I got to go up in that building and look over into the big arena that's there. And here, this is a storied school, and he was part of the history of that school. Left there, goes to South Carolina and does marvelous things there as well. He's a much loved man.
Well, he is, and he's one of those people. We were talking about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You know, this is one of those people in the athletic profession that has lived the life that we want others to aspire to, that we want to bring others to the Lord. And he has lived that life and been that example for them. So he has a tremendous testimony, not only in how he's lived his life, but foundations that he started and people, organizations that he's helped to make a difference in this world.
I can't imagine how good it's going to be to have those three topics covered by Lou Holtz. Now, Alan, you were, again, an FCA. Were you an athlete yourself in school?
I played high school sports, and that's about as far as it went.
They're
bigger and stronger at the collegiate level. But I've always been an avid sports fan and enjoyed, if not able to play it, watch it.
Do you golf? I have to ask that question because I'm the world's worst golfer.
Mike, I want to, but I have a beautiful family, four daughters, and my weekends have been spent watching soccer and my girls play. And really, my favorite sport has been watching them play. But once in a while, I get out there and I hack at it.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm a hacker as well. And a happy hacker when I'm out there on the golf course. No one else wants to play, but I enjoy it. You know, this event that's coming up, it's going to be at the Hilton. And Michelle, the event will obviously carry the wonderful things that will be shared by our speaker, Lou Holtz. But tell us a little bit about the breakfast. There's going to be food involved and as well, what's all going on there?
It is. The breakfast itself has really been developed in the tradition of the presidential prayer breakfast, the governor's prayer breakfast. And typically, you know, we have all of the ceremony that goes along with that. We have, you know, over the years, we have really developed the prayer breakfast so that we are praying for our entire community. So one of the things that we do prior to having our guest speaker speak up is we have people in the community that have that also have wonderful testimonies. Pray over our families, pray over our community, pray over businesses, mm-hmm. our businesses, and praying over our government. So that is really part of the ceremony. We bring the guest speaker in to deliver his testimony. We have music and song that celebrates Christ, and try to bring the word of the gospel to Seminole County and keep that alive and bring others to Christ. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And you mentioned the event is nearing sold out.
It is. It is. We're very, very grateful for that. We've had a tremendous response. We do still have a few tables. We mm-hmm. do still have a few tickets available, as well as tables. Once the event is sold out, we will also live stream as well for those that aren't able to purchase any longer. We want everyone and anyone that wants to see the event be able to do that.
That's wonderful. You know, how did you get involved in this yourself, Alan?
At Michelle's invitation, she wanted a pastor. The team wanted a pastor mm-hmm. on board, and I met them through, you know, of all things, running for local office. And I've just met some really neat people that have included me, and I think the most important aspect of this prayer breakfast, obviously praying for your community is vitally important. But one of the most important parts is what takes place at the end. Lou Holtz is brought in. We meet for breakfast to try to organize this with a team of people right now weekly. A lot of effort goes into this for one primary purpose. And that's to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their mm-hmm. Lord and Savior. There will be a packet on each table where the people that are in attendance will answer a call to accept Jesus Christ. It's not pushy. It's not forceful. It's just an opportunity to meet our best friend, mm-hmm. the Savior of the world. And they'll fill out that card. Identifying if they want to receive Jesus Christ. And I can tell you from last year alone, or 2 years ago rather, because it was canceled last year, that I would say people that are in positions of authority in our community gave their life to Jesus Christ. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing when people gather together. I don't know what it is about early morning prayer, mm-hmm. but when you gather at a prayer breakfast like that, of course, the very next week will be the national day of prayer that will happen. And there will yes. be many churches and many cities gathering in these kinds of events. There's just something very special about it. And I really believe that this year could be maybe more special than normal because of the return to activities like this yes. that were canceled last year.
And with the divisiveness we've seen mm-hmm. in our country, this brings everybody on a common playing ground. This brings everyone together for the cause of Christ. And, you know, there's a scripture that is found in 2 Chronicles that says, if my people mm-hmm. who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the Lord promises that he will hear from heaven and he will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be so amazing. Mm. And there's a lot in that scripture that I believe are good principles, and not to preach, but this is a great time when people do come together nationally, when they do come together locally. It's a time to examine yourself. If my people, it's conditional, will humble themselves. That means you can't be prideful. That means you're not better than the next guy. If you'll just humble yourself and you begin to seek God's face, begin to seek the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and begin to put Jesus Christ in the center of your life, there's a promise that God will hear from heaven, and God does hear. We're not tossing up a hopeful prayer. I hope if God, you're up there, mm-hmm. but we are praying for a community. We're praying for peace. We're praying for businesses to prosper. We're wanting to see people who have no hope be introduced to the hope of the world. We could see things turn around in our community. It's a time to put down the swords, come together for the cause of Christ, and love Jesus.
Mm. It's too late, Alan. You started preaching. Yeah, you did it, man. And it was great. And bring it on. I mean, we need that.
Well, we got to examine ourselves. And that's what humbling ourselves is. Prayer is literally, you know, God does answer prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can testify to that. God hears. The Bible declares if we just cry out to the Lord, he will hear from his sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
We're not throwing up random I hope prayers. God loves us. He loves his children. And if we're not hearing God, if we're not seeing God move, I think there's a challenge. God doesn't have a hearing problem. He hears pretty good. It might be that we have a sin problem. And when we begin to examine ourselves, and I really think that's one of the keys to seeing God move in our community, when we begin to just literally examine ourselves, humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways. What do I know is wicked? When we get into God's word, he begins to reveal to us in his word what he loves and what he hates. Proverbs 6 talks about 7 things that the Lord hates. And I don't want to be on that list.
Mm-mm.
God hates that, I don't want to be doing that. We can see God transform our communities if we just simply humble ourselves.
That is a big part of it. And it's, you know, some people say, well, I didn't know I needed to do that. And that's a blind spot. Well, you know, they call it a blind spot because you don't see it. And yet the Bible says we have all sinned. There's not a one of us that aren't in the need of that humility, of that brokenness. That's the kind of brokenness that we do need right there. Not the kind of what you described earlier. That was an unfortunate thing that happened to you. But you know what? We're all in this boat together. We're all broken. We're all in need, and we, by God's grace, are being given the opportunity to call out to God.
And now there's more than ever, people are crying out. They're wanting answers. What's going to happen next? What next? What does the Bible say about our future, mm-hmm. end times, prophecy? This is a ripe opportunity to share God's love and preach the gospel.
Mm. It really is. I thank you so much. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that it's just the perfect time to bring an event like this to Seminole County. We hope that this is just a blessing for everyone and that it lifts it up. Part of our mission with the Seminole County Breakfast is really to provide we try to accomplish several things.
Mm-hmm.
First, we want to provide an opportunity for Christians to be involved working together in whatever small way this is, to strengthen the body of Christ within Seminole County, within our county area. We want to have an evangelical outreach that will impact our government, our civic leaders, our businesses, our communities, our families, in a way that they are always aware that the Christian community is alive and well in Seminole County. And then finally, to challenge the men and women of Seminole County with the claims of Jesus Christ to accept Christ as mm-hmm. their Savior. That's really our mission, and what a privilege to be able to do that now at this point in time.
It is a very important time. There are forces in position in the government, sadly, that would like to see,
yes.
I believe, these kinds of things
I agree.
Washed
mm-hmm.
out
mm-hmm.
and maybe diminished. And yet this is a time for believers to stand up and say,
exactly,
this is where
right.
we need to be.
Yes.
This is where our country was founded, for these kinds of freedoms. And I'm so glad that you guys are doing this.
One of the special parts of Lou Holt's message that he will be delivering, we've asked him to deliver, is to really talk about a time in his life where he was presented what you're describing right now is a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And we've asked him to come to the breakfast and be prepared to share a time in his life where he reached a crossroad that was very significant for him, where it really caused him to choose between what he wanted as maybe, you know, what in a worldly way, and what he needed to do on faith,
mm-hmm.
in faith. And I think that's going to be the highlight of what he talks about.
Mm. How can people get a hold of a ticket for this now?
There is a, you can go to our Facebook page. The website is posted there as well. It's www.seminoleprayerbreakfast.com. The number that you can reach is 407-430-5230. And we are close to being sold out. So when we reach that point where we're just very, very close, we will close it down, but we will be looking for those individual opportunities where we can place someone. Mm-hmm. We will be live streaming it on Facebook, and we will also, the morning of the breakfast, we'll be posting a link to our YouTube channel as well. Mm. So we hope everyone dials in and watches.
Yep. There's a way that everyone can, even if they can't make it to the breakfast itself, they can join on this Facebook live stream.
Yes.
And that's part of our vernacular now. We've all learned to say live stream.
Mm-hmm. So
that may be part of us from now on out. My guests today in the studio, Michelle Smith and Alan Youngblood from the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast. We'll be back one more time with them coming up in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
I have in the studio with me a couple of individuals that are both involved. Michelle Smith is the chair for the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast and on that committee serving alongside Pastor Alan Youngblood, who is also an educator. And just really, it's really wonderful to talk to both of you. And again, just can't be told too much how excited I am that such events are back on the docket for this year.
Yes.
And to see the Seminole. Now, I know that this thing's been going on for a while. And you know, it has a bit of a legacy in Seminole County.
Well, we do, actually. Our first breakfast was 1992. And the original founders of the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast really should be recognized. Steve Strang, who was the founder and CEO of Strang Communications, now Charisma Media. John Edward Jones, who is a well-respected
attorney,
mm-hmm. a good godly man. Lee Corcoran, one of our prominent business leaders in the community. Brian Walsh, also Daryl Taylor, who is no longer with us. But these are gentlemen that really had a vision, and they had a zeal for God and for delivering the message of Christ to mm-hmm. our community. So really just so grateful to those gentlemen, those men of God that brought this to the community and sustained it over all of these years. And our objective is to continue that tradition over many, many years to come. But our thanks go out to them first and foremost for creating this. And then, you know, the interesting thing about how God can work in an event like this is just all of the godly people that have been willing to come to our sweet little county, Seminole County, to talk about their journey and also deliver their testimony. We've had people, we've talked earlier about our college experiences. Well, you know what? One of our guest speakers was Bobby Bowden. Just, you know, love the man. We've had Cal Thomas, Bernice King. We had, again, Lou Holtz in 1999. Dr. Alveda King, one of my, favorites. John Rivers, and then Danny Warfel. So we've had some, that's just to name a few, but we've really had some good godly servants come and just deliver wonderful messages that have been a wonderful affirmation for those of us that do believe, and wonderful outreach for those that really need to make that decision.
You know, the list of speakers that you have are well known,
mm-hmm. yes.
and certainly Lou Holtz. So he's been here before.
He has, yes. And the reason that we as a group wanted him to come back was because he is an example of someone that has lived the life. He has openly stated his faith, his convictions, mm-hmm. but he has a life that he's lived it.
Mm-hmm. It is very impacting to see a person of, let's say, the kind of popularity that he has. He's instantly known. Mm-hmm. If you see that man in a supermarket, you know who he is. And yes. What a wonderful thing to have a guy like that, that is not afraid. He's not ashamed of the gospel. And to have that as an impetus. And if there's ever a year, we've talked about this a little bit earlier, if there's ever a year that we really need to have that kind of impetus in our life, yes. to return to prayer. And I love what when you were preaching a while ago, man, you were talking about that well-known verse in 2 Chronicles. And we need that kind of impact, don't we?
Well, we certainly do. And our community wants that. And not only do they want it, they want men and women who are living that lifestyle, mm-hmm. no matter how important they may be in our community, whether they are iconic coach like a Bobby Bowden or a superstar athlete like a Danny Werfel or a media personality. People want to know that you're walking the walk and talking the talk. Mm-hmm. That's what makes the gospel transforming. When the gospel's changed your life and you're able to not only communicate that, but live it out in the highest pinnacles of our society, whether it's in entertainment or sports or the news agencies, that's what people want. That's what's going to transform our community when we're actually walking the walk and talking the talk.
Mm. That's something you've been doing for a long time. If you could give us a little bit of a history, how it was that God worked in your heart to plant the church that you have now.
Well, thank you for asking. You know, once I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he had really been working on me. And my interests changed, my desires changed. When I began to help another man in his work, I felt like God was calling us to do that. I have no religious background. I don't know the Pope. I'm not brought up in a church life, although I've infrequently gone to church. I felt this a call of God to pastor a church. And so I went to my pastor, Scott George, at that mm-hmm. time. And I said, he had asked me at the beginning of the year, what do you see God doing in your ministry? And I said, well, you know, funny you mention that. This is what I believe that we're to do. And my wife and I had a conversation and our Ford Explorer at Red Bug Park eating a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A while our daughter was asleep in the back seat. And we just said, God was working on her too. And so an opportunity came. There was a church that was struggling and they needed a pastor and we were approached. And it happened rather rapidly. We started on an Easter Sunday, and we had 96 people show up to our church. We were floored.
That's amazing.
And we haven't stopped since. We're going to be celebrating over 20 years this month in ministry at Faith Outreach Church.
You know, I can just say this because I believe it's true. And you are one of those people, like you were mentioning a moment ago, who humble themselves and pray. And that's exactly what I know Scott would have seen in you. Scott George is a dear friend, and I love his family. His story is amazing. Of course, you know him as well and know what they've gone through.
Yes, he has.
And you talk about prayer. The family loves to pray. The Georges, and they've had ample reasons in this last year to pray, with Austin's injury being as extensive as it was. But I tell you, it's exciting to see people like yourselves and who are going in, who are doing the work in a church and in the civic arena, is what you're doing, Michelle, with this prayer breakfast.
Yes.
It is an exciting thing to see that people are coming together from all different backgrounds, from all different churches, and this is going to be an event that people can come together and pray and in really marvelous ways seek the face of God and ask for healing, as you mentioned earlier, in
all
our land.
For the glory of God.
For
Absolutely.
His glory. My goodness. That's what we're needing, and it really, that's what we're praying for in this area.
Yes.
Central Florida has known, as you've already pointed out, some great leaders at this event, and going all the way back to Steve Strang, who has been around for a long time,
yes.
began with a basically like a church newsletter and a bulletin at Calvary Assembly, and that thing grew into an international publication with Charisma Magazine.
Isn't it funny how dreams work when God is in it?
Yeah. Starts off with something as small as a bulletin.
Yes.
And that bulletin turns into a major publication.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the kind of thing that can happen, just like what's happened in you, Alan, with a heart to serve, and you're basically serving Scott, and yet God puts a seed in your heart, and that seed turns into an amazing church plant. That's just great. There's a lot of churches that would not be at that number, and you started off with that number.
And we are humbled by it, too. And despite my mistakes and my ignorance, you know, God is using our church on the other side of town. In fact, when COVID hit, like every pastor, we were concerned about our people and how we're going to meet and how we're going to pay the bills. You know, it becomes a concern. And I just want to give a quick positive testimony. We, Easter Sunday, when March, the end of March, when we were told not to meet any longer.
And, last year in 2020.
Easter was coming, and that's obviously the greatest day in the church, and we were excited about that. You know, lots of people come that don't typically come to church, and we're always prepared for that. And we had to shut everything down and go virtual. We had to do the live stream. And we had over 2,000 people watch our broadcast, and we've never reached that many people. You know, our sanctuary is not even that big, and God opened a larger platform. And Mike, we had people giving to our church that had never set foot in our sanctuary, giving online, giving gifts, keep up the great work. And out of that birthed the Farmers to Families food distribution. We played a part in distributing food boxes, USDA grade food boxes given to us to the community. And in fact, today is Thursday. We've given out 180 boxes of food to the community. People line up at our church in their cars and from 11 to 12, and we were able to give them a box of food that has chicken in it, has a sack of potatoes in it. I mean, practical things. And people are showing up. So we've been able to practically meet needs in our community through this COVID event.
Isn't it something? Who would have seen that coming? I mean, what would have been the natural look like? A game changer in the negative has become a game changer in the positive.
Yep.
And now churches are coming back. And we're believing that even for those church members that maybe haven't ventured back face-to-face yet, they soon will. But beyond that, we've got this now established network of live streaming, and that's reaching people in nursing homes, reaching people in families, and even families that want to be there, but maybe for sickness. Whereas in the past, they did not have an avenue to join their own service that day. Now they can do it from their own home. That's, you know, a wonderful thing.
It is. You know, one thing I've learned very early on, God's really smart. And he can take what was meant for evil,
yes,
and turn it around for good. More people are listening to the gospel now than ever before.
Oh, that is a wonderful statement, powerfully true. And may God continue to use the churches that are in our area and everywhere with that very thing, that either through virtual means or face-to-face means, let's see the gospel go forward. I want to close with a statement, and I'm going to pose this back to you, Michelle. A statement that is made in our own church. My son-in-law, who is now the senior pastor at Metro Life Church, always asks the worship team. For years, he's been a worship leader, and I've heard him do this on numerous occasions, but he does it every week to the team. He will ask a simple question of all the worship team members. What can God do today? What would be your answer? What are your prayers that God will do at the 2021 prayer breakfast?
What I believe God will do at our 2021 prayer breakfast is help everyone realize that once you look inside our hearts and our souls, they all look alike. They all look alike. And I also believe that what our prayer breakfast will do will encourage those that are believers, but will also lift up and help those that need to accept Christ, admit that to themselves, and make that commitment.
It sounds like you guys have done a marvelous job of planning to have as your goal the introduction of the gospel to somebody that may be at that event. Maybe they were invited, and maybe their ticket was paid for by a friend who's expressly concerned about the state of their soul. And you guys are going to have a packet for them right there.
We will.
That's tremendous. So it's a win-win-win. It's a great breakfast. They get to hear Lou Holtz.
Great food.
Great food.
Great testimony. Great fun. Oh. And great fellowship. Absolutely.
And they might meet the Lord out of it as well if they don't know him already. I can't tell you how much fun this has been to be with you guys today. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Absolutely.
It's great. I've been talking with Michelle Smith, chair of the Seminole County Prayer Breakfast, and on the committee serving with her, Pastor Alan Youngblood. Thank you again. And friends, thank you for being with us today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.